Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
This is the seventh part in this series. We're talking about forgiveness. Hallelujah. Man, I'm so thankful to the Lord. You know, he's so faithful to us to show up every week. And of course, he comes in the room when you come in the room. But how many are thankful for his corporate presence as well? And we would be nothing without him. We have nothing without him. You know, if Jesus made this statement while he ministered on the earth that he could do nothing of himself, how much less do you think we can do? Right? If any of us are doing anything, it's by grace. Even people that are doing things, they're not acknowledging the Lord, it's still by his mercy and grace, because they wouldn't have heartbeats without him, because he's the maker, the creator of all. So even in everything that we're doing, looking at, and God's presence in this place, the anointing, all of those things, how does that happen? It's by his grace. And we purpose, and you guys know this, we purpose because this is the passage that the Lord gave us for this church, is Ephesians chapter 3, verses like 15 through 19, right? God desires that his church understand his love so much that we would be a body wholly filled and flooded with God. Now, that's happened in individuals through the years, but God's design is that it would be the entire church. Many times what happens is people will look up on mantles or anointings that are on particular ones to do particular ministries, and they associate God doing something through someone else instead of seeing the importance or the reality of the resurrection within them and then pursuing him to find out what their place is. Not getting insecure about what somebody else's call is, but understanding their place and that they're a complementary piece within the body of Christ because of the predestination of the Lord, which he formed and fashioned you before you ever got to the planet. Amen. I better take a breath. I'm getting lots of utterance here. Before you were ever put here, he knew what your purpose was. And people say, well, I wish he'd just show it to me. And really, the correct response is that we need to humble ourselves before the Lord in reverence and honor to him as creator. And then as we intimately fellowship with him in our prayer closet, he then reveals to us the necessary character development in order to fulfill the purposes of the kingdom. Amen. But a lot of times, because we do get wrapped up in the natural, we get wrapped up in this life, we get wrapped up in things that we shouldn't within this life, we actually never see that and understand it. So there's this God-shaped emptiness within every person and even within believers, because they never find that full place. And the reason isn't because God is withholding the information. Remember, he didn't hide it from you, he hid it for you. The reason is because we don't take the time to find the answer. How many realize this, that wisdom is crying in the streets and she's saying, how long will you be simple, simple ones? How about newer translations? How long will you be fools, foolish ones? And our culture is full of fools and full of foolishness. In other words, I'm not saying that, I'm not condemning or cursing any person. What I'm saying is that the spirit that is operating within the earth is anti-Christ. And so the voices that are able to speak, or the voices that are available that are not yielded to the Lord, they tap into that spirit and then they share that with the world. You say, how does it come? Through all sorts of media. Through individuals, of course, but have you ever noticed that the most repulsive thing will get repeated on social media? People will take it on as an identity. They'll take it on as a personality, and they don't realize, because of deception of the enemy and because many times the church has not stepped up and let their voice be heard, shined with the light that they have, were salty with the salt that they have within them, they follow that deception. And what they don't understand is many times it's, you know, wrapped in pretty colors, but inside of it is death. The perception is, this is success. But what I've found is this, that the highest places in the kingdom carry the lowest place in the natural. In other words, we all want a resurrection, but we don't want a cross. But I've found the cross is worth it if you'll just embrace the death. Amen? If we embrace, the only thing that's dying in our lives as believers when we obey the Lord is death itself. The flesh. How many realize your flesh is not smart? Your flesh, and I've said it before, will watch a commercial on working out, and they'll have some muscle-bound lady or man on there, and they're showing how at 50 they're as in shape as they were at 20, which I know is a lie straight off. Because there's no way your body ages. You can't stop it. The leading cause of death is birth. Right? So, and your body will go, yeah, I want to look like that. And then the commercial will go away. And you'll see a commercial for chocolate cake. And you'll remember, I got something in the, and your mind will go, ding, chocolate cake. Your flesh is so smart that it'll go, yeah, I want to work out. And then it'll go eat half the chocolate cake. If you let it. We can't trust our flesh as far as we can throw it. Amen? And you might be saying, what does this have to do with forgiveness? That's where I'm going to tie it in, right here. Forgiveness comes from the inside out. Forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a choice. Forgiveness is not a natural thing, it is supernatural. So in Matthew chapter 18, we ran over this parable that Jesus is teaching. And he's talking about, the whole parable came out of Peter asking, how many times do I have to forgive my brother who sins against me? And he comes up with an awesome number, 7 times. And the Lord looks at him and says, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. And in this series, we're talking about forgiveness on two sides. Our main scripture, Colossians 3:13. It talks about this, that we're to forgive one another the way that Christ has forgiven. Woo, now that's a tall order. If we could do that within ourselves, we wouldn't need Jesus to do it. But the nice thing, I've heard people say, well, you can't forgive the way God forgives. That Bible verse says you can. And that's just one of them. There are more. Jesus actually says it later on in the parable. He says, if you do not forgive your brother from your heart the way that God has forgiven you, then you actually end up condemning yourself. Whew. How am I going to do that, preacher? By the resurrection graces of Christ. That's how we do it. So Peter shares, Jesus shares with him. In other words, we saw this, that if you're counting the number of times you have to forgive somebody, you haven't forgiven them. Come on, think. Right? So if every time you sin, if it's the same sin and I go, ooh, that's the 7th time I've had to forgive Josh for that. What do we all know? I did not forgive him the first 6 times. Because I'm not... Aren't you so thankful the Lord, when you go to prayer, in your prayer time, he doesn't bring up the sin you committed against him 10 years ago? When you ask for forgiveness for it, how many know this? Jesus' blood works. God believes that blood worked. He doesn't just believe it, he knows it. It's sitting on the mercy seat going, forgiveness, mercy, freedom. I'm not mad. I let it go. In other words, when the Lord looks down at me because I've received Christ, he sees me as pure as he sees Christ. Oh, that'll make a religious devil mad right there. That'll stir up a religious spirit real quick, right? But the scripture says this, and this is the next series that we're going to go into. And I know I'm preaching this, not teaching this, but it's the nature of it. All right? But we're going into this next. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not coming before the throne in my own good works. I come boldly to the throne of grace because I understand the one who opened up heaven to me. My identity is no longer in me, my natural, what somebody else thinks of me. It's in Christ Jesus. Amen? So when we were looking at Matthew 18, we saw that the Lord begins to teach concerning about forgiveness by an illustration of a king settling accounts with servants. And there's a lot of verses in there, but essentially in the first part of it, we see that the first servant was forgiven of a debt that he could not pay. That first servant is a representation of what? All of humanity. We all have a debt before the Lord that we cannot pay, that only Jesus could, correct? And so that's why Jesus came. So he, out of his compassion, it says in the parable, the king had compassion on the first servant and he forgave him all his debt. Now, what's interesting about that is that the servant had asked the king for more time to pay the debt, but yet the Lord, knowing the condition of humanity, doesn't respond to that request with the answer that the servant thought he was going to get. He knows that the servant will never be able to pay the debt. So what does he do? He just forgives him all the debt and releases him free. All right? And there's more in there that we saw. You can go back and listen to it on the website, right? Then we see where the servant went out and did what? He found somebody who owed him 100 denarii. Now, we don't use denarii today, okay? At least I hope you're not getting paid in denarii. If you are, it's not much pay. All right? But basically, this other servant could have paid back the first servant within 100 days. At that time, the average pay of a laborer was a denarii a day. So how many have ever put in overtime before? Okay. If you owed, it would be like 100 days pay. So whatever you get paid an hour, multiply that by your day, and that's what you were in debt for 100 days to another servant. How many know some overtime is going to take some time, but you can pay that back? So it wasn't like the first servant who was forgiven all this debt that he never could have paid, right? He had time and ability to pay this back. But the scripture says this, the first servant who was forgiven actually didn't show compassion to the second servant. He actually grabbed him by the throat. Now that's something. After you've been forgiven so much, you turn around and minister unforgiveness to a fellow servant. And this is where this gets interesting right here, and this is where we'll wrap up this morning. Why is this, in verse 31, it says this, so when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. In other words, the first servant that was forgiven so much choked and threw the second servant into prison so he could have his debt paid. While that was taking place, the rest of the servants within the kingdom were watching this take place and they went, hey, this is not right. How many have ever felt that before concerning brothers and sisters in Christ in the church? Because this is what this is about right here. This is where this gets serious. They were grieved in their heart in the way that their, the first or the second servant, their fellow servant was being treated. And they didn't go to the first servant, they went where? To the king. How many have ever prayed about somebody in the body of Christ to your king? Oh, don't lie, don't lie, don't lie to me. Listen, I've done it. If I could lift both feet, I would. In other words, you go to the king and say, Master, Lord, do you see what's going on here? And of course the king sees what's going on, right? In our case. So this ended up being a very difficult situation. So what do we see here? This is the wrap-up of the parable. These are passages of scripture that cause us problems if we do not understand them. So let's understand them. First, we see in verse 31 that this man's actions concerning his fellow servant upset the rest of the servants in the kingdom, and rightfully so. This phrase, fellow servants, this is important, because it shows the relationship that was between them and the king. The first servant's actions not only affected the man that was mistreated, but in addition, he caused problems through the rest of the servants. His actions caused others to be grieved. The word grieved means distressed, sorrowful, and heaviness. When the first servant broke his relationship with the second servant, he broke it with the rest of the servants as well. Even more serious than this, he had broken his relationship with the king. That's what's addressed later on, right? He had broken his relationship with the king. Why? Because of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a terrible thing. It's more serious than we realize many times in the church. There are a couple of passages of scripture in the epistles that will shine even greater light on this truth concerning fellow servants. Colossians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul said this. He spoke of Epaphras as a dear fellow servant who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Then in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7, he referred to Tychicus as a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. The last phrase, in the Lord, draws attention to the fact that being a fellow servant speaks of the servant's relationship not only to Paul and the rest of the believers, but also of his relationship to the Lord. So why is this important? Well, if you go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, you see Jesus say this, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. In other words, if there's disagreement, what doesn't happen? The answer to the prayer doesn't take place. Amen. Now watch this. This is even more significant in Matthew 18, 20. I find it interesting that these two verses are right before all the teaching on forgiveness. Okay? I wonder if the Lord knew what he was doing. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. Do you see it? They're gathered together in my name. I am there in the midst of them. The unity among the servants of God affects answers to prayers as well as the level of his manifest presence in our midst. The unity among the body of Christ affects answers to prayers as well as the level of his presence in our midst. Now, am I looking at people that love the presence of God? I believe I am. If you're watching online, are you one who loves the presence of God? If you are, you will value forgiveness. You will value it. See, we look at many times and we're a spirit-filled church. You guys know that. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe I don't believe God died with the apostles. You say, what do you mean by that? I believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He heals today. He delivers today. He baptizes in the Holy Spirit today. He does everything he's always done. I believe men come up with reasons why it didn't work instead of men repenting over why it didn't work and finding out the correct answer from the book. Okay? That's how I live. Okay? That's how I operate. And so in the midst of this, we believe these things and we value the presence of God. But many times, we miss the importance of the love walk and forgiveness and how it affects the gifts and manifestations of the Spirit. When you read through the book of 1 Corinthians and you go from 1 Corinthians 12, which talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and then you move through that chapter, not only the gifts in the leadership, but in the flow of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit gifts. You read through that chapter, you see all these miraculous things. And then right in between there and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you have 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Where the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, said this. He said, if I pray in tongues, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. How many have kids and you gave them something to bang on before? Some tongues sounds like that in the Spirit because there isn't the motivation of the resurrection behind it. We must value forgiveness. I'll just say it this way. Our individual breakthrough and freedom, personally and corporately, is tied to that walking in love and that forgiveness. And I'm going to say this, all sin that has been committed against us personally is minuscule in comparison to what we did to the Lord. It's not even close. It doesn't mean we can't understand it. It doesn't mean there aren't answers there in the sense of understanding where situations and how we got in the predicament we're in. Of course, that's wisdom that God would give us. But if we don't embrace a new identity, we're bound to repeat the same thing in the next generation. Amen?
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.